Thankful for all the singing tonight. Appreciate that song. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I want to begin there in verse number 13. We appreciate all that God's done. We appreciate everything God's going to do. And we're excited for that. Thankful y'all could be back with us. Would you stand in honor of the reading of God's word? Luke chapter 24. I want to begin here in verse 13. He says here in Luke 24, verse 13, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. They talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near." Aren't you thankful for the times when Jesus Christ draws near unto us? And friend, we don't deserve it, but we sure do love whenever Jesus draws nigh unto us. And so Jesus himself drew near, and not only did he drew near, but he went with them. Friend, I am thankful for the day in my life when Jesus drew near unto me. But I'm thankful that after he drew near unto me and I accepted him, that he didn't leave me there, but he went with me. He said, "I'll go with you and I will never forsake you." He said, "But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? They said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. When they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. They said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? I want to preach on this thought tonight. Did not our heart burn within us? Ed Ballou, a while ago, many years ago, preached out of this text, and he preached this way. He preached on holy heartburn. Holy heartburn. Friend, these men had some holy heartburn. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. God, we ask that you'd help us tonight. Lord, let everything be done to your glory, to your honor. Lord, for your praise, Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would accomplish that which you please by the preaching of thy word. Lord, would you draw us closer to you, Lord, that we might go with you. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing tonight. I want to preach on this thought, did not our hearts burn within us? What we've just read here in Luke chapter 24 is a special and a unique account of Christ's appearance to the two disciples on the Emmaus Road after his resurrection. Brother Ronnie was teaching, he's been teaching on the harmony of the Gospels and how each Gospel is unique in the way that it presents Christ. And so what we find here in Luke is a specific account about Christ and one of his appearances that none of the other accounts of the four Gospels have. This is a special account that is not found anywhere else. That is the account of the Emmaus Road. I want you to understand here what's going on. If you look in verse 1 of the chapter, you'll find that verse 1 shows us the resurrection of Christ. That was on the first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? That would be Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's Day. It is the resurrection day. It is the eighth day. And so it says, now upon the first day of the week, that very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But there in verse 5, we know that Christ appears unto them, and he tells them, why seek ye the living among the dead? That's what the angel said. In verse 6, they said, he, Jesus, is not here, but is risen. And so we find that is what takes place after Christ rose, that the women went to the sepulcher early. We find the two angels appear unto them there, and they tell the women at the sepulcher that Christ is risen. And so after they tell them, the women go to tell the others what God had done. If you look in Mark chapter 16, verse 9, you'll find that Jesus appears specifically unto Mary Magdalene, apart from the group of women. He says in chapter 16, verse 9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, that he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. He told her in John 20, verse 15, he said, woman, why weepest thou? And he said, whom seekest thou? Verse 16 of John 20, it says, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, Master. You'll find there, so the women go to the sepulcher and the angels meet them. On the way back, we find that Christ meets with Mary Magdalene specifically. And then you'll find after that in Matthew 28 and verse 9, that then Christ meets the other women on their way. He said, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. So after all this, they go to his disciples, the 12 disciples, and they began to tell them all that they witnessed. We know that whenever they told them, when Mary told them in Mark chapter 16, it says that they believed not. When the other women came unto them separately, it says that the words that they spoke seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. The disciples at this point in Luke 24 had heard the witness of the women. They had been to the empty tomb, Peter and John there. They had seen what had happened. They had heard their testimony. But at this point, they did not believe. There was no belief. There was a testimony unto them, but there was no belief or faith in that testimony. And so after these things take place, two of Christ's disciples began to make their way back to the town of Emmaus. We know on that very same day is where Christ meets them in this chapter. We know one of these disciples has the name of Cleopas. We don't know who the other disciple is, perhaps his wife. We do not know. But in verse 1, it says that they were headed back to Emmaus from Jerusalem, and it was 3 furlongs. And we know if you're to calculate that into today's terms, that was 7 miles. And so here they are on a 7-mile trek by foot back to their home city of Emmaus. And no doubt they had been in Jerusalem, no doubt with Christ, not only for the Passover, but they were there with him in his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But now they're going back into Emmaus in defeat. They came to Jerusalem in victory, but they're going back to Emmaus defeated and unbelieving. We know there in verse 15, though, it says Jesus himself drew near. I want you to notice a few things about this text tonight that I believe we can apply to our lives. Number one, I see Jesus traveling with them. I find, first of all, Jesus is traveling with them. He says he drew near and went with them. Friend, like I said, I am thankful that Jesus drew near unto me. I'm thankful there was a day in my life whenever Jesus Christ met me. Friend, he met them here on the road to Emmaus. I think about Saul. He met him there on the road to Damascus. And I think about myself. He met me on the road to destruction in my sins. Friend, I'm thankful that I serve a God that meets us where we are. He meets us even when our backs are turned to him, even in our unbelief, even when we're headed in the opposite direction of his will. We serve a God that's willing to draw near to us and meet us where we are, even if it's on the wide road and the broad road to sin and destruction. But we find him traveling here with them. I find him not only traveling here with them, but I find him talking with them. In verse 17, he said, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" He said, "What things are these?" I want you to understand what they tell him here. They had been talking and communing and reasoning about all these things. And then Jesus began to ask. Here's what they said. Verse 18. "And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things?" By the way, just so you know, whenever God asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer, right? Friend, when God asks a question, it's not for his benefit, it's for your benefit. Have you as a parent ever asked your kids, "I don't know, where did you put it?" Right? Or, "I don't know, you tell me what happens when you disobey me." You ever said that? You know the answer to exactly the question. But you want to make sure that they understand exactly what you're asking them. I remember the first question that God ever asked in the Bible. He said, "Adam, where art thou?" Friend, they weren't playing hide-and-go-seek. God knew exactly where he was, but he wanted Adam to understand what was going on. And so Jesus is here, and he is veiled, he is disguised. They don't know it's Jesus. And he says, "Tell me what you're talking about. What things?" Jesus knew exactly what it was, but he wanted them to tell him what they were reasoning of. So what is it? "They said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." I want you to understand their answer unto him. I don't think I'm going to be long tonight. I just want you to see some things that I'm seeing in this chapter. In their answer to Christ, he said, "What things are you sad about?" They began to give him the report. They said, "Let me tell you about a man by the name of Jesus. He's Jesus of Nazareth." And they said, "This was a prophet. He was mighty in word and in deed. And we hoped that he would be the one that would redeem Israel. And we hoped that he would be the one to save us from our enemies. But the rulers and the scribes and the Pharisees, they have delivered him up, and he is now crucified. Our leader is dead. The prophet of God is dead." And they said, beside all this, they said he would rise again on the third day. He told us that he would, but now is the third day, and he's not risen. Oh, yes, but they've came to the sepulcher, and he's not there. And they told us that angels told them that he was alive, but we do not believe them. I want you to understand, they had everything about their testimony correct. Everything that they said to Jesus in description was correct, except for two things. I find two problems with what they said. They said he was a prophet, but they did not say that he was the Son of God. They did not believe that he was God, in fact, the Son. God the Son, as equally God and essentially God and eternally God. They said, yes, he's a master, he's a teacher. Yes, he was a prophet, but that's all he was. Secondly, we find they did not believe that he had risen again. They had received the word, they had heard the word, but they had not believed the word. You know what's amazing? What can stand in between you and going to heaven? You can have everything right up here. But if you don't get what's up here about God down here, that this space from your head unto your heart is the space that can keep you from going to heaven. Friend, that's the only link, the only distance that can keep you from escaping a devil's hell. They had the testimony. But friend, they did not believe that Jesus was who he said he was. They did not believe that he did exactly what he said that he would do. And so what else do I find here? I find Jesus is traveling with them. But he's not only traveling with them, he's talking with them. He said, come, let us reason together. Then I find him not only traveling and talking with them, but I find him doing what he does best. I find him teaching. Look there in verse number 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe. Notice this. To believe all that the prophets have spoken. He said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? You know what Christ begins to do here? Christ knew exactly what was going on. Friend, Christ knew that the problem that was in their heart was belief. They had none. He knew the problem was their lack of faith in what Jesus was and then what he did. Friend, if you do not believe that Jesus is who he says he is, then you certainly can't believe that he did what he said he did. Friend, first and foremost, Jesus is the Son of God. He is God the Son. Friend, he is the Messiah. He is before all things. By him all things consist. But friend, he's not only the Son of God, but friend, he came unto this world and died and bled and rose again for you and me. And Jesus was questioning them here because he knew their unbelief. But he began to expound unto them. You know how Jesus began to reveal himself unto them? He began to reveal himself in this book. You know what Jesus didn't do? He didn't take the veil off of their eyes and say, hey, I'm right here. He didn't say, hey, you don't believe. Look at my scars right here. He didn't reveal himself unto them in this way. How did he do it? At this point, they didn't know this was Christ standing in front of them. Look, in verse number 26 and 27, he said in verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, that's the Bible, he said he expounded unto them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. You know why Christ did this? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, he said, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Friend, the best way that you can begin to know Christ is through this book right here. Friend, there is no greater testimony of God. Friend, there is no greater witness of God. Friend, you cannot get more knowledge about God from any other source from this book right here. You know what this book is? It is the mind of God. You say, Revis, I wish I could know what God was thinking right now. Friend, if you look in this book, you'll find what God thinks about every subject that we may encounter in this life. Friend, this book is our testimony of Christ. I want you to understand this. Christ was there. He was in the flesh. He was looking into their eyes. And he didn't choose to reveal himself through physical means, but by the Word of God. You know why that makes me happy? Why I am blessed to know that? Because, friend, I've never seen Jesus face to face. Friend, I've never seen him in the flesh. But you know what? I have a more sure word of prophecy. Friend, this is the Word of God. And, friend, if you don't believe the words that are in this book, if Jesus were to come down from heaven today and stare you in the face, if you don't believe this book, you would not believe him word for word. Friend, this book is a more sure word of prophecy. You know what he said? He showed them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He didn't say, I showed them all the things concerning himself in the scriptures. You understand this? All the scriptures concerned him. Not bits and pieces of it. Every bit of it. I believe Jesus, as he walked 7 miles with them, he began in the book of Moses in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. He said, you know who the Word is. That Word is Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. And friend, he spoke all things into existence. I believe he turned to Exodus chapter 12. And he said, you know that Passover lamb. You know the blood that had to be applied. That's a picture of the blood that was shed for you. That's a picture of the Passover lamb of Christ. Friend, I believe there he turned them to Leviticus and showed them the tabernacle, how God would dwell with man. And he said, you know what? Jesus is God that's come down to dwell with man in a tabernacle of flesh, and that is Christ. I believe he took them there to Psalms in chapter 22 and spoke of the cross of Jesus and how he hung there. I believe in all the scriptures, Christ showed him things concerning himself. Friend, I hope you realize tonight, if you don't get anything else out of this message, I want you to understand just how close you can get to God and just how much you can know about Jesus through this book right here. You may say, man, I really just want to see his glory. Man, I really wish I could just talk to God and ask him some questions. Job wished that too. He said, oh, that you would have eyes of flesh as me. He said, oh, that mine adversary had written a book. You know what? We got a book. Friend, we have the greatest testimony of Jesus. And if we don't believe this, we won't believe anything else. I believe there in Luke 16 it is. There is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. There in hell, the rich man lift up his eyes and he begged that Lazarus would come and dip and give him one drop of water to quench his thirst. And he told Abraham, send Lazarus. I have 5 brothers that he might tell them and warn them. Abraham said, if he will not believe the prophets, and if he won't believe the word of God, then, friend, he would not believe even if one had risen from the dead. I find it amazing how Christ reveals himself to them. Can I ask you a question? Do you understand how important this book is? Say amen if this book's important. Do you really treat it like it's important? Or do you treat it about like the manual in your car? You never look at it once. It sits on the dashboard. How important is this book really to you? He began to teach them. I want you to notice, not only did he begin to travel with them, not only did he begin to talk with them, not only did he begin to teach them, but I thank God Jesus tarried with them. You know, it says Jesus made it as though he would have gone a little farther. Jesus knew he didn't have nowhere else to be. He knew there was no other destination, but he just wanted to see once again what they do. And they said, please come with us. It's getting late. And he told him he would go with them. He find that he tarried there with them. I want you to notice this. One last thing. We'll be done tonight. I see him traveling with them. I see him talking. I see him teaching. I see him tarrying. Where does he go? In verse 29, he went in to tarry with them. So he's at their house here. He has sit down with them. And no doubt after this journey, they're hungry. They're tired. They're worn out. They're exhausted. They said, let's get a meal together. You can imagine the setting. It says, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, or at meal with them, says he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. You know why this is so special? Because this is the first time that Jesus ate after he fulfilled the work, the finished work on the cross. Friend, this was the first time that his body had received sustenance after he had died and bled for you and for me. And as I began to think about this, I thought about the very last time before that he had eaten. Look there in Luke chapter 22. He said in Luke 22, verse 14, he is sitting there, and it is his last meal before he would give his life as a ransom for many. There in Luke 22, there in verse 14, it says, and when the hour was come, he sat down, the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. I want you to notice. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread. Say that with me. He took bread and gave thanks and what? And break it. Say that again. And break it. And what? And gave unto them. So first of all, he what? He took bread. He gave thanks. Then he broke the bread. Then he gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Friend, that was the last time that he had eaten with his disciples there before he died. That was the last time that anything had entered into his body. Even whenever he thirsted on the cross, he would not take of the vinegar that they gave him. He said, I shall not eat anymore until the kingdom of God be fulfilled. And I believe Cleopas was possibly there or had heard about that, where he had the Passover meal. And so now he is sitting down with these disciples and they don't know who he is. But in Luke chapter 24, there in verse 30, it says that he took bread and blessed it. He gave thanks and brake and gave unto them. I believe their wheels began to turn. I believe they began to think back there in the upper room there on the Passover night. They remembered whenever he took the bread, blessed it, brake it, and gave it. I believe that they began to think about what he had said, this is my body which is break for you. And you know what else I think? This is just holy speculation. I believe as he began to break that bread and he handed it to them, I can only imagine that they began to see his nail-pierced hands. I can only imagine that as his sleeves began to draw back and he handed them that bread, which is a picture of his body, they began to see his hands that had hung there for them and had been pierced by those nails, those hands that were stretched out for the sin of the world. And I believe at that point their eyes were opened, and it says that they saw him. They knew who he was because of what he did for them. It says after that he vanished from them. You think about the significance of that. That God came to where they were in their unbelief. He took the time to walk and talk and teach them, sat down with them, and he began to break that bread. You know what he said? This do in remembrance of me. And I believe as he began to break that bread, I believe that's exactly what happened. They began to remember him. He said, this is my body. After they had this encounter with him, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? They said, we knew there was something about him. And we finally realized this is the Christ. Friend, their unbelief was settled that day. That day, friend, their faith was put in Christ, no doubt. They knew he did exactly what he said he would, and he was exactly who he said he was. Friend, he gave his life for you and me, and he rose again that we might have life. This sermon may seem a little scattered, but I believe it has a purpose tonight. Friend, their hearts burned when they were with Jesus. When's the last time your heart burned for God?
When's the last time you really just got excited about the things of God? And when you were in a service where the Holy Spirit visited, when's the last time that your heart yearned for Him? When's the last time that you yearned for the Word of God as your daily bread? When's the last time that our hearts really burned within us for the things of God? Friend, Jesus is all around us. He doesn't always reveal Himself, but I'll tell you this, He's in the volume of the book. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes tonight. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. There was a young man here this morning. I'm excited to see him again. Young man by the name of Braden, just 9 years old. Hadn't been through a lot in this life, but he understood enough to know that he was a sinner and he needed a Savior. And this morning he gave his heart to Christ. And that was a blessing to see that. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. You may be 9 or you may be 90. But you say, Revis, I'd like to raise my hand and say, I have never been saved. I'd like for you to pray for me. Is there anybody like that? That'd just like to lift your hand up right now. Musicians are making their way forward. Maybe you're here today. You've never been saved. Maybe you're here and you have been saved, but you say, Revis, my heart's not been burning like it needs to be. I've not been seeking Christ in His Word like I need to be. You'd like to raise your hand and say, Revis, pray for me. Anybody like that? I see that hand. Anybody else? I tell you what, while they begin to play, I'd like to pray. This will be your opportunity to come. It will prosper. Let it prosper in our hearts and our lives. Help us to follow Your word. Lord, why? Because You're the Father. Lord, I pray that You let our hearts burn for You. We probably. As they play, maybe you need to make your way down to this altar. I'm trying to give you a message to do that. Brother Brad,
what's the number on the song?
Number 165.
Stand with us.
Be the light to cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while He waits for you. Lift to His voice. Leave with Him your care.